Spool gets. Count Rahun here, and it is time for yet another feature of Fright. Before we get into tonight's show, allow me to take care of the castle-keeping notes. We have one more show left for the month of February. This one shall be February 27th, that's a Thursday night, in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, at Nick Newton's and Spinelli's at 7 p.m. This particular show will have no cover charge and shall feature our romantic comedy adaptation of H.P. Lovecraft's Herbert West Reanimator, as well as a dark romance of sorts about a young man in love with a vampire called Don't Let This One In. We will also have a live interview with B-horror legend Donald Farmer, as well as a past U.S. president from beyond the grave. Now, of course, later on in the year, we will have more shows, but some of these shows may have a cover charge. And in order to avoid that, I suggest becoming a patron through our Patreon page and join the ranks of the undead, right alongside Yancey Pearson, Morgan Mitchell, Rhonda Gentry, Nicole Johnson, Lucas Lanius, Courtney O'Halloran, Tyler Laney, Brian Veerling, and Stephen Duke. If you become a $10 or higher patron between now and April 3rd, you will have a ticket waiting for you at the box office for whichever live show you wish to attend. Of course, if you're not interested in being a patron at this time, might I suggest a one-time donation through our PayPal? This shall help us cover the expenses of the show, as well as help us raise funds to get back to the Imaginarium Convention in July of 2020. Go to featureoffright.com/donate to give today. And now that that is out of the way, let us get into the heart of the matter, and hopefully you won't feel the need to drive a stake through it. This evening, I present to you the third tale from our Southern Gothic Ghost Show, The Seconds. The next prize we have comes from Spooky's Pizza. Spooky's is located on 2990 Old Lebanon Road in Walter Hill. For 3 years, Spooky's has been one of Rutherford County's best-kept secrets, serving, in your count's humble opinion, one of the best pizzas in the area. Enjoy such gruesomely good pizzas, such as their Franken-Philly pizza, voodoo barbecue, and other delicious menu items, such as their demon wings and scrumptious subs, fries, and homemade sweet tea. Spooky's also delivers within 15 minutes of their locations. Spooky's Pizza. So good, it's scary. Now, earlier today, folks on the event page were asked to drop the hashtag Drahun Podcast for a chance to win one of these prizes. And let me pull up the first name. First name we have is Gregory Lanham. Come on down!
Keep clapping, it's a long walk.
It's in this nice little envelope. Try not to spend it all in one place, young man. You're welcome.
It's a new car!
We're not that rich yet. Now, for our next tale, I have a question I want to ask you. Is there any wrong done against you that is truly worth holding a grudge over? That is the theme of this scenario. To some people, they would answer this question in the affirmative. These folks have experienced the worst of the worst, the death of a loved one, the betrayal of a friend, the theft of something irreplaceable. How does one cope with such a dilemma? Tonight we shall meet a man whose grudge, in an ironic way, has kept him alive far beyond what was expected of him. Within his heart rests a hatred that can only be put out by facing his rival. But as you shall soon see, it isn't quite that simple. Let us travel back to 1890 in post-Civil War America to hear the tale of The Seconds.
In the autumn of 1890, I made the long sojourn from my
quiet farmhouse outside of Frankfort, Kentucky, to visit my grandfather, Hiram McQuarter, who resides in a small cottage right on the border of Kentucky and Tennessee. I had not seen him since I was 15 years of age. He had a falling out with my parents at the time. It was never properly explained to me why each party of this conflict was estranged. Some in my family suggested it had to do with the politics of the war. But I am more inclined to believe that my mother and father abandoned Hiram because my grandfather had a reputation for being a very belligerent, very difficult man to be around. Though I am sure the news has been relayed to him, he has given no response, nor did anyone bother to see him when my parents passed on last winter. So, I decided to take it upon myself to go and visit him. If the legends are true, my grandfather is at least 110 years old. Astounding, but at this juncture, if my grandfather is indeed alive, which is yet to be disproven, there is no way it isn't true. Granddaddy? Granddaddy, it's your grandson, Thomas? Thomas White. I came to tell you...
Stop your yammering, boy. If you are going to address me, have confidence in your diction.
I'm sorry, Granddaddy. I just wasn't entirely sure if you were there.
Well, where else would I be? I'm 110 years old. I can't risk falling off a horse.
May I come in?
Where do you want to come in?
I came a long way to see you, Grandfather. I traveled from Frankfort just to see how you are.
Well, you see me. Are you satisfied?
Would you mind if I came in to rest?
I'm not running a bed and breakfast.
Please, Grandfather.
Ah, fine. You have put me in a difficult enough position. Follow me to the sitting room.
I must commend you on your home. It's quite a feat of workmanship.
Cut the crap, boy. What have you really come here for?
I truly came here for a visit. I want nothing from you but your time.
Well, boy, I may not have a lot left to give. I've already lived far too long.
I can only imagine how difficult it is to bury a child.
I didn't bury them, you did. I don't remember attending your mother's funeral.
We would have made arrangements for you to come.
I received your letter. I appreciate your notice, and it sufficed.
I don't understand why you and my parents did not get along.
You would have to ask them.
I did. They told me that you were a...
Go on, let me hear it.
A mean old man.
I believe the correct quote is mean old bastard.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God rest her soul. She was a good one.
Well, if I may be frank, Granddaddy, why is your demeanor always so soured?
Because I'm old,
no,
boy.
No, sir. No, from what I have been told, your angry disposition goes back to well before your temple's great. You are a prosperous man. You had a family, a good reputation. Were you lacking anything?
Only one thing. I suppose I have kept it to myself long enough. You should know, I may not have much longer to tell anyone else. My birth name is not Hiram McWhorter. It is Samuel McPherson. I was born in New York in 1780.
What? Why didn't you tell?
I'm getting to that, boy. My mother and father immigrated there from Scotland before the Revolution. My mother died a few years after I was born. My father, courteous as he was, waited till I was 5 to start beating me. Drunkard, you know. At 14, I ran away, wound up in Manhattan. I became a blacksmith's apprentice. Then after a few years, I started working full-time. In a few years more, I owned my own shop. One of my best clients was a man named Pierre Dumarier. He was a widower and was often accompanied by his daughter, Daphne. She was the most beautiful woman I had ever laid eyes on. I don't know what she saw in me, but she took a liking to me. She started coming around more often, sort of looking for an excuse to drop in, on her way to the market, to the cobbler's, things like that. Before long, she would come in the evenings. We'd visit, talk for hours. It did not take long before things between us became romantic. A few months later, we were taking a nightly stroll through town and making plans to elope.
Elope?
The Demarier family was an aristocratic family. Pierre would not have allowed his daughter to marry a blacksmith. Right as we turned a corner, we stepped right into the path of a man named Remeshenko. He was a cruel man, made his fortune through vice and violence. He made an improper statement towards Daphne, and I lost my temper. I knew I was no gentleman, but I challenged him to a duel. He laughed, but he accepted. Remeshenko and I left to get our pistols. We were to meet by the banks of the Hudson at midnight. It was I, Daphne, Remeshenko, and one of his cohorts. I begged her to go home, but she insisted on being my second.
Second?
In a duel, you need someone to negotiate the terms and all of that. You get someone to represent you, they get someone to represent them. You try to make peace, but it falls through. So you set up a meeting place, rules of the duel and such. Since we skipped all of that, we needed one person for each of us to be on the field to make sure neither of us were cheating. Daphne was to shoot Remeshenko if he cheated. Remeshenko's goon was to shoot me, should I cheat. We walked 10 paces, turned, and fired. He didn't fire, but I sure did. My bullet hit him right in the chest. He fell to the ground, bleeding, dying. Daphne rushed over to embrace me, relieved that this was all behind us, but terrified as to what was to follow. While everything was up in the air, I saw that monster rise up from the ground, smiling the most crooked, evil smile I ever saw. Before I knew what to do, he raised his pistol and shot Daphne right in front of me. I fell to the ground, holding my sweet Daphne in my arms. I sobbed, watching her life fade out of her eyes, unable to speak or breathe as the blood poured from her mouth. As I grieved the coming end, I saw his cohort hand his pistol into Remeshenko. I was sure that I was next. Matter of fact, I hoped he would. Instead, he turned the pistol on his henchman and shot him in the face. I could still see that demonic facade look back towards me after he did the deed. I will never forget what he said.
You'll be sure to remember me.
Then he turned around and left, leaving me to hold Daphne in my arms. Though it pained me, I left that night, headed west to the frontier. I went by the name Hiram McWhorter, and here we are. I did love your grandmother, boy. Lord knows I think she deserved much better. But I could never seem to shake off the horrors that I endured, nor could I ever give up my pursuit of that devil.
Well, Granddaddy, I understand how holding all that in could have been...
I have felt his presence over the years waiting for me. And I him. I want to finish what we started. That is why I am still here. My thirst for vengeance has kept me alive. And I refuse to die until I send Remeshenko straight to hell.
I did not know what to say to the shocking revelation Granddaddy told me. The next couple hours were spent with very little discussion. Fortunately for me, the sun had begun to set at the climax of his confession. I retired to the guest room where I spent the remainder of the time reading scripture, writing to my family and other affairs. I laid my head on my pillow around 8:30. I tossed and turned, fearing that the gruesome tales of the evening would give me nightmares. I did not need to fall asleep to experience a nightmare. What in the...
I know it's you! Show yourself in the light!
Granddaddy, what are you doing?
He's out there. I saw him. Come on. I want to end this. 75 years is long enough, you spawn of Satan! Let's have it out right now!
Granddaddy, stop this nonsense! There is no one.
There you are. It's about time you got here, Remeshenko.
Oh, McPherson.
I was hoping we could get the cat and mouse game up for a little longer, but from the looks of you, I don't think you have more than 5 minutes.
Granddaddy, the man has a hole in his chest!
I know. I was the one who put it there.
So, you really want to finish this?
Yes.
You are not quite as quick to the draw anymore, Samuel. You might
not... I don't care who wins. I just want it to be over.
But it is. You shot me, remember?
But here you still are. That night you took from me the most important person in my life. Whether you live that night or you are some specter back from the dead, I do not believe. We are finished.
Well, you really should consider, old man.
Don't you try to get out of this. I may be old, but I still have sand. I may not win, but I'm still tough enough to try.
Granddaddy, is he a...
Son, if you can't keep up, best you leave all the talking to me.
Very well. We shall finish our gentleman's game. Though I would not dare call you a gentleman.
Look who's talking.
However, I have one condition.
Name it.
We must use the weapons that we fired that night.
Why, you dandy prat, you know good and well I left all that behind that night.
Calm yourself. No need to fret. My second here has them. Look.
Granddaddy, that man has no jaw.
Yes, boy, I'm aware. If that is your only condition, then I accept.
Very well. I assume this young man will be your second?
Indeed.
Second?
Yes. I need you to shoot this dirty phantom should he try to play dirty.
But, Granddaddy, I've never fired a weapon before.
What did your mother and father ever teach you?
This should be fun.
The duel was then set up right in front of the cottage. I, armed with an ancient revolver, stood 10 paces across from Rimashenko's jawless second, whom I assume was the same one from the first duel. Clearly he saw something we didn't in his employer. My grandfather and Rimashenko stood back to back in the center of us.
I will be sure to give you ample time to turn before we start shooting, old man.
And I'll do you the courtesy of not putting a second hole in your chest. This time I will blast your head clean off.
Not very gentlemanly of you.
It's like you said. We are not gentlemen.
All right, gentlemen. To your marks. Now, turn to face each other. Take aim. Granddaddy, look out!
Shoot a second. Do it!
I got him!
You didn't really think I'd play fair, did you? I told my second to shoot your grandfather before we came here. Now that your grandfather is mortally wounded, and now you are out of bullets, I get the pleasure of winning this duel by killing yet another loved one of McPherson. Although this time, it will be the last thing he ever sees.
Boy, duck!
Huh?
I told you I would blow it clean off. Don't ever turn your back on an opponent.
Granddaddy!
You did good, boy.
How do you feel?
I feel free. At long last, I can rest. I will rest. Finally.
Upon his last breath, the wound in my grandfather's chest had healed. The bodies of Rimashenko and his second disappeared. To this very day, I'm unsure as to what actually happened. However, for me, I think the disappearance of his wounds signified that peace of mind he had always searched for all his life. I thought my grandfather was Hiram McWhorter, A mean old man who took up residence in the cabin in the frontier to escape his family. When I left, I came to know my real grandfather, Samuel McPherson, a tough, cavalier gentleman of whom I had the honor to serve as his second.
The burdens of the past have a strange effect on all of us. To some, they grow in the hearts of man like a cancer and eventually consume them. To men like Hiram McWhorter or Samuel McPherson, they are like stakes that pin them down to the ground until the winds of closure finally uproot them and take them away. Each have their own consequences. So in any case, the best course of action is to make peace with it and move forward to live the best life we can. There you have it, spooks and spookettes. Unfortunately, that is all the time I have. But be sure to join me next time for yet another feature of Fright. Until then, as far as things go when things go bump in the night, there are such things.